a world drowning in noise, where truth is often buried beneath layers of propaganda and misinformation, there's a need for a different kind of a network. A network of creators that cuts through the clutter, that doesn't shy away from tough topics, and that delivers the unfiltered truth. We are Trim Radio Network. We are creators. We are innovators. We are investigators. We're the ones who aren't afraid to call a spade. If you're ready to participate in thought-provoking discussions, informational topics, and of course today's biggest headlines, subscribe to our YouTube channel today. We're Trim Radio Network. We're cutting the bull and serving the truth.
Welcome to Revelation, where prophecy meets science. Join host Peter Kling, the Einstein of biblical prophecy, as he uncovers ancient truths with modern insight. Prepare to see the world in a whole new light. And now your host, Peter Kling.
Well, good evening, everybody, and thank you for joining us here on Revelation. We're going to do a little bit of a different show tonight, but it's going to tie in. It always ties together. And tonight's show is basically commentary on Kerry Cassidy. It's based on the show, and I hope that you listen to this. Riscola did a show Saturday night. His guest was Kerry Cassidy. I've got a lot of respect for Kerry Cassidy. She's been around a while. She's been around somewhere like 25 years. She didn't even talk about her longevity on the show, but she's not somebody who just all of a sudden became the hottest thing since, you know, sliced bread. How many people who actually get that expression? euphemisms. Riscola, you did an excellent job. I totally enjoyed your show there. And please comment on it. What were your thoughts overall?
I thought it was an honor and privilege to have her on again with. I still believe that. I thought it went very well. I didn't agree with everything that she said, but, you know, it's like you get to a point in life where you realize not everybody thinks the same that you do, and they show you respect because you don't think the same as they do. So there's no reason why you shouldn't show them respect in with regard to how they believe and some of their things. I agreed with the majority of the things that she said. There were some things I was curious about I had never really thought about. One of them that comes to mind was the idea that the animals are I can't remember the word. That they're leftovers from aliens.
They kind of are. I mean, not exactly. But yeah, she was, you know, these are alien races that have become us.
I don't recall, or she said that they brought them here. I don't recall exactly what, but it was it shocked me. You know, not shocked me. That's not. It surprised me. But again, I don't think that way. But I respect her for thinking that. That's fine. I would not argue with her over that because I don't know. She might be right. I wasn't around when all these things happened. I was taught differently, and as I have gone through life, I've learned that the longer that you live, and if you really dig at all into things, you'll find that you've been lied to about everything. So who knows?
Yeah, we'll cover that in a little bit, but that there's some validity to what she is saying. Okay. This would be, according to what they have found with our DNA, you could recreate all life on Earth based on our DNA. We carry the complete DNA for everything right back to cyanobacteria. Wait, what?
Where do you get that, Peter? How do you know that?
I did the research into my I don't know, biochemistry seems to run in my family. But my major was chemistry. My secondary was biology. I needed to know how things worked on the smallest and largest levels. And this all came from a dream that I had at the age of 9, where I got to see the future. I had to know how that was possible. 9 years old, I've been on this quest. Yeah, that's like 61 years ago. How many people can say they've been on a 61-year journey to gain knowledge, to gain comprehension and understanding besides? But it's where you're accumulating that knowledge from. But I've talked about this. You go all the way back to the Cambrian period, and life just spontaneously happened. After 2 billion years, it just all of a sudden appeared. There was more genetic information downloaded on Earth at that time than has ever been here since. And that's their findings. And a lot of it you can't argue with because it's in stone. When it's written in stone, you have to come up with an explanation. What's the easiest explanation? Genetic engineering. We can do it now. You mean, we just developed this technology and there were no genetic engineers? So, getting back to what Kerry said, if our DNA has everything that has ever been created on Earth, we're going to have certain traits. And certain genes are going to turn on, and other genes, won't turn on. But all in all, we're pretty much the same species. But now we have damaged human DNA. Were there others before us? Yeah, Cro-Magnon and Neanderthal. And I don't think that they were as dumb as they're made out to be. These were people that they were indigenous people. But wait a minute. Wasn't Atlantis that at this time? And what about Lemuria? What about these advanced civilizations? So you got a mixture of mythology, folklore, and DNA, and our genetics to come up with a viable answer for all of this stuff, which would be totally outside of what is recorded in the scriptures. And there's some validity to it because who were the genetic engineers? If you look at what is written in the scripture, when you get to the book of Ezekiel, I believe it's the 38th chapter, where it talks about this angelic creature that was in charge of, he was the covering cherub of Eden. Could he have been head of genetic engineering? Could he have had a genetic engineering crew? You know, you work on the flowers, you work on the insects. They're going to join up here, as we go. And look what's written in the record. God's force moves to and fro over the watery deep. And that's where that was Cambrian. And then you have terrestrial after that. And then you got the age of the dinosaurs. Hello, reptilians. I would think that those genetic engineers really liked the dinosaurs. But the Earth's environment wasn't going to be set up for dinosaurs. It was going to be set up for the next species of life created by Holy Spirit and the Creator himself, who name Yahuwah, the Tetragrammaton, is encoded within our very DNA. So, okay, where did we come from? You got all this genetic engineering, but Adam was created separately, out of the elements. He wasn't a clone. You got the complete genome all put together. Yep. Now we're going to take that genome, we're going to make it perfect, and we're going to make it one of us. Let us make man in our image. In whose image? In the image of the gods. In God's image, and it's encoded. Yahuwah is encoded right within our very human DNA, and no other DNA had that. And so we get Adam. Riscala, what did you say in Arabic? What did you say that the name Adam meant?
The first blood. Dem in Arabic is blood. Adem would be the first blood.
Yeah. And I've heard it used that his skin was more red. Okay. But first blood, the first perfect blood on earth with God's spirit in him, with the consciousness of the creative force of the entire multiverse itself, he who causes to become. That's why there's consciousness in everything to an extent. What we can do is put our consciousness in everything. Everything that Carrie said about that, we have the ability to do. We have the ability to see the future. I've seen it. I've been shown it. I've been warned about it. I've driven on different roads just to avoid it. So there are certain things that she was saying, which I would have to agree with her, that don't really have any written record. So I know that she's got this quest, maybe the same one that I've been on, but she doesn't have the biblical information. It's a child's story. Did you notice she said that? Riscala, join me here.
I keep muting the microphone. Yes, I remember her saying that.
Yeah, and
some of the stuff I don't necessarily agree with what she's saying. It's a child story. Even if the Bible was not inspired by God, even if it wasn't, there is so much wisdom when you look into it that you can't just. It's more than just a child's story to me. I mean, now again. If that's what she believes, I have no problem with, I'm not going to argue with her over that. That's fine. It doesn't present an insult to me. I'm not insulted that she doesn't believe the same way I do. There's a lot of people who don't believe the same way that I do. And again, there's a lot of people who do agree with me. So, you know. What I'm finding more and more nowadays that's important is that our ability to be able to discuss things without getting an emotional tornado involved. Yes, I do remember her saying that. Yes.
Yeah, and I have to say this right now, but I've said this for years. I may not agree with what you say, but I'll fight for your right to say it.
100% agree.
100% agree. Yeah. Yeah. Because you in this world, you cannot be so bigoted to say, oh, you're absolutely wrong. Now, I go back to something my grandfather told me when he was a kid in school. He said the dumbest kid in his class gave such a foolish answer that he laughed. And the teacher was standing next to him. This is going back to pre-World War I. He said the teacher was standing next to him, and he smacked my grandfather. I think he was like in the sixth grade or something like that. He smacked my grandfather. And he said, Kling, you can learn from the dumbest. And my grandfather used to tell me that. He told me that story lots of times. And I'm not saying to comprehend what's actually going on in this planet at the level that Carrie Cassidy comprehends it. Stellar. Okay. But a lot of the information that she has is controlled information. And so she's she doesn't have a real good foundation for everything that she's been given, but I sincerely believe it. And she's got an agenda going here. But there's one big alarm bell that went off. I mean, I told you about this. There's so many things that I agree with her on, but what's the deal with the Anunnaki? I'm not sure. we'll get to that in a minute. We're kind of burning right through this here. Let me catch up here. I want to go back to one specific thing that she said, and for anybody who wants to listen to it, go back and listen to her Scully show. It's at the, I think, at 1 hour, 13 minute mark. I think it may have actually starts a little bit before that. And she was talking about the TV show that it was when you raised the question about Zacharias. Wasn't it Zacharias Sitchin? No. Well, you did that, but DiBisaggio.
Andrew.
Yes, Bisaggio. I always want to put a D in front of his name, and I've talked to him too. You know, we've had a very interesting conversation. It goes back to one of the shows I did with Alfred Weber, and he said some interesting things, which made me think, and especially when it comes to the jump room. They find that, remember you brought it up. Do you remember when he was talking about, he went back in time to the days of Lincoln, and he shows this picture of him running across a bunch of people. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I believe he brought it up there, or you made reference to it, but he also claimed to jump to Mars, and he claimed that was a physical jump as well. And hello, Scotty, beam me up. Is that out of the question?
Nothing is out of the question. That's a loaded.
They're dealing with
nothing is out of the question to me. With everything that I have witnessed, nothing would. I wouldn't say nothing would surprise me, but nothing. Maybe surprise is the best word I can come up with, but with everything that I've seen and the technologies that have been hidden from us that I know of, it's not going to be something new to me in the sense that, oh my God, I can't believe that they came up. They've had technologies that they've hidden from us for so long. Massive, you know, I can't think of the right word, advanced technologies that they've hidden from us.
We've
said this many times. We should be the cartoon, the Jetsons, where I can't remember the guy's name. He's riding around in a
George car. Jetson.
Yeah, George. We should be there already. They've released some of the technology, but only because it serves them better than it serves us. Cell phones. They knew about cell phones long before cell phones came out. Then they figured out, hey, we make cell phones inexpensive, because when they first came out, they were in the thousands of dollars. If we can make them relatively inexpensive, then we can program them so that we can follow everybody. We know where they're at. We know what time they're there. We know what time they leave. You see what I'm saying? So technology's been there. They just only release what serves them the best. And what serves them the best right now is to keep us in this primitive technology where you have vehicles that require a road.
And yes, I totally agree. And the things that I've heard about the underground cities, that they've got trains that can hit, right, you know, they're basically real bullet trains, travel at Mach 2 underground, and they never touch the track.
Nope.
Mass driver. It's essentially a mass driver it's the same principle as a rail gun. But you have an electromagnetic pulse that basically shoots you out of a barrel. Boom. We're up to Mach 2.
Think of how much money has been siphoned away. We're 40 some odd trillion dollars in debt. I think about 9/11 and Rumsfeld standing before the camera saying, oh, we have a problem. We're short $2.3 trillion. $2.3 trillion. Oh, well, we're gonna find it, you know, and then what happened the next day? Oh, gee. You know.
Kaboom. Accounting got it. Oh, that's the sad part. That cruise missile hit went right into accounting. Boom. What files?
Uh-oh.
Believe that? Uh-oh, what?
My silly mouse. Okay. I was moving the mouse over to look at the comments, and it clicked on something. I had to unclick it.
Okay. But here's the interesting thing. This was a show that she was going to do with Basagio, and it didn't happen. She was actually asked to do a show on the alien question. Oh, she wanted to do a show on the alien question, and she called her producer for the CIA. Wait a minute. She called, I'm quoting, this is right at the 1 hour, 13 minute mark. She said that the TV show she wanted to do was on Shadow Ops, and that was, I believe, with Basagio. This is 2009. And then it was the alien question. So they wanted to address the alien question. And she said that she had called my producer for the CIA. Wait a minute. The CIA asked you to call your producer? They made him, and she said that they made him an offer that he basically couldn't refuse, but he did. And so her producer was fired, and so was the director. And she was given another producer and another director. And this was going to be on the Mars project. Well, the face on Mars, the pyramids there. How much information did Richard Hoagland drip out? And a lot of it had to do with Mars. And I believe it was the plains of Cydonia. I forget exactly. And Buzz Aldrin comes out and he says, have you seen the moon of Mars? And what's that obelisk on there? And yeah, what is it? Do the research, look into it. So why is she being directed in that way? And they actually shot a show. What did she say the name of the show was? The Mars Project. And they shot one episode. I guess it didn't make clear. I believe she indicated that it actually aired, and then they put it on the shelf. Alrighty then. Change of direction. We ain't doing Mars either. That's Elon Musk's basket. Think about it. There's been no real news about Mars. Yeah, we sent the rover up there. Somebody was keeping it clean for us. We're not sure who it was. Alrighty then. Whatever. At least they were in a spacesuit. If you followed any of that, I think it's the Rover's projects, all of a sudden footage started showing up, and it was a little bit before AI could produce it. Boy, we got to say pre and post AI. Yeah, we'll see that buried too. But Rascal, here's my question. She's got a connection with the CIA. Think about that. So who is actually, or who was, controlling the narrative at that time? And she goes back to what I said about, you know, hey, we got to have you on this show. Hey, we got to have you on this show. Oh, nope, all booked up. Hello, Hello 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 History Channel. But anyway, what's the obvious answer?
Well, it could be that she was doing the show, and then the CIA, she found out that the CIA was involved in the show. I don't think that she went and called the CIA and said, "Do you want to do?" I mean, that's just
go back. No. She said it right on the show. I wrote it down word for word. She said, "I called my producer for the CIA. I listened to it like
maybe the CIA contacted her.
At least four times." And you raised the question. What your response was, it's unreal how much power these people have. And Kerry said, and I quote, "The CIA runs all kinds of things."
Wait, now, okay, are you surprised? Because that doesn't surprise me.
No, I said, this is great.
People who take the time to look into things will find that our government is heavily involved in much of the media. And this is how they get their messages across. Their messages are easier to be. It's a pill that's easier to swallow, I guess is a way to put it. Coming from a media of some sort, a comedy or whatever it might be, it's easier to swallow it that way than somebody standing behind a podium with a tie and a suit on, an official of some sort, saying, "We're going to do this or we're going to do that," you know. So anyway, that's my opinion.
and Ruskell, I would tend to agree with you there. You know, from the one thing I want to just touch on here, if you listen to Leo Zagami's interview, which I made reference to a couple of weeks ago, good interview, by the way, it's with Michael Jaco. He came out with I forgot the name of his book, but anyway, he referred to the CIA as Catholics in action. What? At least when it came to the UFO and alien narrative, because the Vatican's been controlling the narrative since, according to Leo, since the 1930s. I wonder who was controlling it before that. Maybe the aliens were still gods. But, and it could be very, very well, could be factions warring against each other. Now, think about how many factions could have joined the satanic side for their own egos. If you had the head of genetic engineering, what departments did you have under the genetic engineers? And it would make sense that there was what you would refer to biblically as angelic or interdimensional genetic engineers who designed this planet through that they were the contractors that were putting up the building. You know, the landowner says, "Hey, I want you to develop this piece of land. Here's the blueprints." Gives them to a builder, an architectural company, and then a builder. And the builder goes out and finds the labor in order to complete the building. The problem is that when the building was totally complete, that the builder never gave it back to the owner and occupied it with all his buddies. How's that for an analogy? So, you know, that's there's a force that's not from this world that is controlling this planet. And we're getting different controlled narratives that are coming out, right? So we have to show discernment in this. And I'm not saying that, you know, I agree with quite a few things, as do you, what she says. Three Eye Atlas. What was your question about Three Eye Atlas? Do you remember? It was Planet Nibiru. I think it was what I typed in to ask her about Nibiru. because she was talking about stitching. And all of a sudden, the people who were studying, who knew, professors who knew cuneiform writing, said stitching got it all wrong. Now, maybe they came from a purely scientific viewpoint and stitching was looking for answers. But where was stitching connected to? Back to the Catholic Church. Those who were controlling the narrative. Catholics in action. Interesting. But I would totally agree that Three Eye Atlas ain't a comet. When Three Eye Atlas had a propulsion system, it also rotated. It seemed to give off different signatures of what was it? Mostly nickel, as opposed to nickel iron, where you had a high percentage, you know, kind of like stainless steel, high percentage of iron, and a small percentage of nickel. A lot of meteorites are made out of that; they don't rust. But this thing's mostly nickel. And nickel you find in really high-tech metallurgy in large quantities, in the same quantities that 3i Atlas was showing. So many anomalies there. And it had a forward jet as well as a propulsion jet that you would kind of see coming off the sun. But what about that long jet that was in front of it? And when it went around the backside of the sun, it set up a bunch of solar flares, sunspots. And it got bombarded. And when those sunspots came around, so did Earth. And we saw some beautiful auroras if you were in the right places. But they penetrated deep. And so did this thing. How much energy did 3i Atlas just suck up? Like it was nothing. What kind of technology is that? Priscilla, have you ever heard of anything like that? You were in the Air Force. You gotta wonder. So, but here she also mentioned is that she said Israel's controlled by the Anunnaki and the Vatican's are run by the reptilians. Okay. That makes sense. Because Israel has a long connection going back to ancient Babylon, and the whole Talmud is based on teachings from ancient Babylon. What was Babylon before that? Babylon was the location of the Tower of Babel, where it all starts with the Sumerians, sorry. I was like, wait a minute. And so she knows this. Reptilians, hey, seven-headed, ten-horned dragon. It's fiery colored. It's interdimensional. It gets cast down to the earth. Hello, reptilians. But what about the Anunnaki? They were our first gods, according to the Sumerians. They were gods. And look into the whole backstory there. It's pretty similar to the Egyptian story. So who were these gods? The principalities? Ephesians 6:11 talk about, our fight is not with flesh and blood. Okay, Kerry doesn't like him either, right? I mean, that's the indication that I got. And here's an interesting thing, and I meant to bring this up last week when we were talking about human and child sacrifice. When, according to the information that I've got, we always wondered Baal. We talked about the gate of Baal, last week too, and a portal. This was where the gods would have appeared and entering the city where they required live child sacrifice. Well, that word Baal means Lord. When King James translated the Bible, King James was a supporter of the Freemasons. When he translated the Bible, he took out the common name that was given to God at that time, which was Yahweh, or actually more accurately, Jehovah. It was that he took God's name out of the Bible over 7,000 times and replaced it with Lord and Lord God. Wait a minute. Was that a subversive way of plugging Baal into the Bible? And Freemasons, they just need to believe in God. Any religion will do. Here's your Bible. And that Bible became the backbone of the evangelical movement throughout America. Go down south through the Bible Belt. You better bring a King James Version, the original. Because they used to be able to quote it to you. I don't know if they still can. I'm sure the older people down there quote, you know, scripture and verse. Do they know what it means? No. They can quote it. They can't apply it. And that's where wisdom comes in. And so when we start looking at the narrative that we're being told, and and I'm not picking on Carrie. I do respect the woman, but I'm talking about all of the narrative that's being put out there. And the narrative that I hate the most is AI-generated narrative of any sort. You know, especially when they put this commercial together and it's all AI. It's like, oh, come on, give me a break. You better have good information. Teach me something. Don't just entertain me. But you have to use discernment just to figure out, is this the real thing or AI? Boy, it kind of looks real. No.
You just wait. It's going to get better.
Yeah. It'll be more perfected. Yeah. Oh.
That's what's happening. It's going to get to the point where you literally are not going to be able to tell whether it was a computer-generated image or whether it was somebody real.
Yeah. Crazy.
You saw some of this videos I played by Josiah, right? Where he's doing the political thing, where he's got Trump on, and he's got Vance, and you know, it to an amateur who didn't know any better, that might pass as a real thing. Of course, because it's so bizarre, I don't think it would last very long. You know, within the first couple of seconds, maybe within a minute, they would figure out, oh, this can't be real. But it might fool some people. And it's just going to get better, exponentially better, because now they're using AI to design AI.
Yeah, crazy, huh? You know, something that you brought up when you were talking about the UFO situation was the amount of, and I believe it was Carrie brought it up, the amount of, maybe you did, the swarms of UFOs over South America, right?
Mexico.
And she said that, well, yeah, Mexico is where it was centered at. And, geez, one of the longest reporters about UFO was from Mexico City. But why so many swarms over Mexico City? Wait a minute. Well, how many humans did they sacrifice in Mexico City, the Aztecs, at one time? As many as 80,000 across their empire? Holy moly.
Wow.
Is that why the UFOs show up there? The Foo Fighters during World War II. The Germans thought they were Americans. The Americans thought they were German. The Foo Fighters were just up there waiting for the fight to start. See who's going to get shot down. Yeah, demonic entities. Intelligent, alien, extraterrestrial energies that are mostly energy, That's what Carrie said. I agree. Yeah. So she, you know, here again, it's using discernment. It's, you know, she talked about a one world government, right? Isn't that what they wanted? Well, you guys got into the conversation about Trump. And then later on, she talked about a one world government, that Trump would be the last king, according to these 12 Anunnaki tablets, right? You remember saying that?
Yep.
So, okay, wait a minute. Revelation 17, Revelation 9 and 17, the king of the pit of the abyss becomes the eighth and the last king. And he puts, and Carrie said this too, you know, it's not just one person, but she said she thought that Trump and MAGA would be a very large part of it, but it would essentially be governments, the different governments involved in running the planet. Let's see. 10 kings who do not yet have a kingdom. Revelation 17. So the beast that was but is not, which ascends out of the abyss, becomes the eighth king and puts together a coalition of 10 kings who do not yet have a kingdom. And they form a one world government. And what's not part of that government is Babylon the Great, is religion. And you've got three competing religions that basically want to see the death of the people. The Messiah is coming. The Christ is coming. Whatever it is in Arabic, but their Savior's coming too. The Mahdi. The Mahdi is coming. Oh, really? Yeah, well, the war in Ukraine and what's going on in Iran, and this is going to be interesting, is now getting, Iran wants to develop a nuclear missile. They said they're going to develop a nuclear missile, and they're going to hit the United States with it. Allegedly, English short-range, I forgot what the actual missile was, but they carried tactical nukes, has been shipped to Poland, right on the border of Ukraine. France allegedly turned around and said that NATO is putting together a coalition of troops to go into Ukraine, and they're being stationed in Poland and Moldavia, if the information is correct. And they bring nuclear-tipped missiles with them. Those missiles are currently deployed to Poland, I think, is what I had heard. And Russia said, okay, you want to play that game? Nuclear fleet, you're on full alert. All the submarines. All the missile cruisers. It's the nuclear fleet. Hold on, it's going to get interesting as we go forward. Are we headed for a nuclear war? Sometimes you got to come to the brink. Difficult times, hard to deal with. Trump's on TV probably right now. Well, he's giving a speech right now. I'd heard that the major news networks were going to carry him. I don't know if that actually followed through or not, but that came from somebody. I think it was the press secretary, was somebody who's associated with the White House, said, and he was informed that ABC, NBC, and CBS were not going to carry the president's speech. Oh, goodbye FCC license. Commander-in-chief can't get a message out. Interesting. Yep. In Japan today, they couldn't use their ATM cards or their debit cards. It all went black there, at least the financial end of it, that end of it. So where are we headed here? It's a transition time. it's a transition time. And we're getting the eighth king, or as Kerry said, the last king of Earth. The last king. And even she referred to him as a king. She did say one thing which she was 100% wrong on. Show me where it says Anunnaki in the Bible. Did you catch that, Riscala?
I'm not sure what you're referring to, though. She did mention Anunnaki quite a bit, but I'm...
Yeah, she it was like one of these little side comments that... she was talking about the same subject of coming under one world government, but she goes with this other narrative. But then she turned around and she'd been pushing the Anunnaki, but then and she mentions that the Anunnaki said this in the Bible, and I was like, what? Wait a minute. I can't tell you the minute marker that it was at because I didn't write it down. But anyway, I just thought that that was odd. So why does she believe that? And yet she thinks that the Bible is a child story, or the Adam, biblical version of Adam and Eve. So, okay. One thing I thought was great, though, and you brought this up, Riscala, Hollywood gives us a heads up.
True.
Yeah.
True.
You mentioned The Simpsons. Here's a real easy, here's an easy slow ball for you. What is probably the greatest alien movie at all of all times, or space movies? Let's put it that way. Dealing with all sorts of extraterrestrials. Set box office records. It became a cult in itself. Star Wars, right? Star Wars, without a doubt, has made the largest impact on people. They're still playing the series, but if you watch the original Star Wars, it was like, wait a minute.
What is that one movie where Contact of the Third Kind or something like that?
Yeah, that was, I think, another Spielberg movie.
The Third Kind. I don't recall what it
is. Yep. Yeah, it's where they wind up in, like, isn't it Sedona, California? I forget.
Somewhere it has some kind of a energy field of some sort. And when I saw that movie... Not quite a while ago now, Peter. What's that, maybe 20 years ago? 25 years ago? 30 years ago?
Yeah, probably.
I thought
Close Encounters of the Third Time of the Third Kind. That's what it was.
Yeah. And I said, okay, this is going to be the introduction. You know, I figured, not back then, after learning what I've learned and doing all the research I've done, thinking about that movie, and I'm thinking to myself, well, this is going to be the where they're going to introduce the aliens to us. You know, they're going to put them on, make a big production, have everybody come around, and they're going to start taking people with them. Did you know in 1954 there were spaceships? This is documented now. This is not an opinion. This is not theory. This is an absolute documented fact. 1954, I believe it was two or three, maybe even more, what we would call UFOs, flying saucers, spaceships of some sort, hovering over the White House.
I've seen that picture. I've seen a picture, and black and white picture, because that's what it would have been back then, of... And I was like, God, is this Photoshop or something? Well, it could be. But there's a film, although I'm sure it's out there somewhere, where Truman is talking about extraterrestrials. Have you seen that one?
I don't know. No, not Truman. I think my mind is picturing Eisenhower.
Eisenhower allegedly had a meeting.
He was a boss. Yeah. Okay.
He allegedly had a meeting with him. I think I'm not sure when the UFO. You probably look it up on Google. UFOs over White House. I believe that could have been under Eisenhower. But there is a film out there. It's now a video of Truman, and it's been out for a while. Truman is being interviewed, and he's like speaking very matter-of-factly about, "Yeah, I know there's aliens. Yeah, I've talked to them." Wait a minute, you talked to them? And then there's the classic picture of Hitler shaking hands with a small gray. Like, now you yank my leg. Wait a minute. So they would only communicate with American presidents, but not Hitler, who was working on the Bell Wonder Weapons.
Correct the year. It's 1952.
1952. So, okay. So that would have been the start of Eisenhower's administration, wouldn't it?
I don't know. I'll look it up.
Yeah, but yes. So, and it actually, and I mentioned this before, the Vatican started its control of UFOs and aliens back in the 1930s, in the early 30s, according to Leo Zagami, and he brought the receipts. So, I mean, he connected all the dots there that all connect the narrative that's getting out today. And Truman. Okay, so it was still Truman. So, hey, he knew about him. There's that film. You know, it's out there. Go look it up. You go back to the Wayback Machine, as they call it. It's got to be there somewhere. So we know they're there. I'll go back to Ephesians. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but it says against the principalities and governments of this system, against wicked spirit forces in unseen heavenly places. Interdimensionals. So, you know, Gary says there's aliens. I agree with her. You know, who are they? Who are they really? And then you go back to, she's a fan of Trump and MAGA. If it's the king of the pit of the abyss, which we've talked about on previous shows, he's the king of the pit of the abyss. And when the abyss was opened, most likely by CERN, I would say it opened a portal to a different dimension, Tartarus, and they opened the pit of the abyss right on time. They developed the technology to do that. And now CERN shut down for 4 years. Move quick. So there's a whole other alien group. We've talked about this on previous shows. So I would say that the Earth is pretty much invaded and infected with extraterrestrial life, all of it with its own interest. And why the fight over planet Earth? Riscolo, what is the Arabic word? Can you pronounce the Arabic word for first blood?
Adam.
Adam.
That's first blood. Adam. Dem is, so there's, in Arabic, there's, how do you describe it? Just like run and running, okay? So okay. Dem is the root word, and then I can't think of the word that would be used in a different context, but dem, D-E-N, is blood. And if it's, and so when I asked, so I have, my brother-in-law is, his bloodline is of the pharaohs. And I asked him several questions. One was, what does Adam, in the English version of Adam, what does Adam mean in Arabic, if anything? And he said, first blood. And then I said, I started to think about it. And that's a dem, dem. Dem is blood. A is the first of the blood. He also said something that quite surprised me, but not surprised me, but kind of verified what my suspicions were. The characters that you see, these creatures that you see with a bird head and a human body, I asked him about those. He says that they were real. Those were real beings that walked the earth at one time. Freak out.
Hey, and that's exactly what I said. And I never met him. You know, that points to that. Say, well, that extraterrestrial.
But we were told
shapeshifter.
You know.
They're traits.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, you look at seraphs. They've got the face of a man, the face of a eagle, the face of a bull, and the face of a lion. They have six wings, and so there's meaning behind every face. But typically in artwork, they're shown with having a face on each side, four faces, one head. So
those weird beings are because they did like they mated because they did like they mated with women. Is anyone reading the comments?
Yeah. Well,
I'm gonna go back and look at the comments. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say I can't read the comments because they are like tiny small. I do this from my cell phone and pray everything works right. StreamYard is difficult at best, but hey, we do what we can. But I can't read the comments, and I do apologize for that. And unfortunately, on YouTube, any comments you make, you can't see them after the show's over. Oh, what a pain in the butt that is. So, you know, that is what it is. I appreciate the comments.
I think you can see them on YouTube on the archive. I think you can click on view chat during show or something like that.
Okay, that's news to me. Yeah, that's news to me. But here's the point I want to make here. We are kind of getting close. The first blood, and God said that the soul is in the blood, right? He blew the breath of life into Adam, the first blood, the first physical intelligent creation made in the image of God. Perfect human blood, the first blood. Doesn't say anything about that it came from any place else. It wasn't genetically engineered. It was created. And so that first blood in the children's story of what's recorded in chapter 2 and 3 of Genesis, where they eat of this fruit, and the serpent, never says snake, it says serpent in the tree, spoke to Eve. Questioned her about that fruit. No, only from the tree of knowledge of good and bad. We shouldn't eat from it. Oh, but if you eat of it, you'll be just like God. He didn't tell her that it had the telomere virus in it, and that the very day of their eating of it, they were going to infect their bodies, and we were going to lose our perfect human DNA and have telomeres attached to it. And genetic engineers in 2014 found the splice mark for the telomeres being attached to our DNA, which was a theory that I came up with 40 years ago, based on my knowledge of genes and genetics, biology. You got to know this stuff, and then it all starts to make sense if you can put it together properly. But once it's put together, it's totally logical. And so because Adam lost that first perfect blood in order to gain back the rights of this planet and all of Adam's descendants, another first blood had to be given in order to replace what Adam had lost. And so we get the story of Yeshua, as we commonly call Jesus Christ or the Messiah, who gave his perfect human blood in order to replace what Adam had lost, to gain the legal right in order to rule this planet, as he said, not through any religion, but through my kingdom, a government. A government. What's happening here on Earth? We're going to put together a one-world government. Really? What does Revelation 17 say about this? Well, it's in 19, too. But it says that the wild beast, the eighth king, after it destroys Babylon the Great, it goes up against the Lamb of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and it returns to the place that it ascended out of, back into the pit of the abyss. Back into the pit of the abyss. So that's the outcome of what we're facing. That's the first blood. That's the first blood. And so that's where we have to align ourselves with. That's why discernment is so important within these last days. And there's only going to be one place that you're going to find the information that can explain this to you. Religion can't. Religion doesn't want to. Religion wants to keep going on the alien narrative. And they show that by their actions. And so Babylon the Great has to be destroyed. And it will be. But the story is recorded within the scripture. And once you comprehend, first blood was lost and had to be replaced, which sets up the legal precedent for the control of this planet. And yeah, it won't be a total extinction level event, as Kerry said. There'll be people that'll survive. People who have aligned themselves with, as what she put it, source. And she named that source God. Well, why doesn't she just call it Yahuwah or Jehovah? The creator of everything. He who causes to become. Maybe it's a little bit too biblical, but I'll go along with source. It works. It works scientifically. And if you go back, what's the singularity? If you go back to string theory, it brings you right back to one dimension of pure dynamic energy. And that was the start. That's known as the singularity. And from there, we have more dimensions after that, seven other dimensions before you get to the physical dimensions. God's number seven, man's number 10. It all works out together. And so that's where we need discernment. We have to learn what is real. But why would we pay attention to the gods of ancient Sumeria in order to tell us the truth when Kerry herself warned us that, no, they'll lie to you? Well, if they'll lie to you, they're not from our Creator. They're not from Yahuwah, Jehovah. They're not going to be, they're liars. Lie once, you're a liar. And, you know, can you reform? Yeah, sure. Quit your lying, you know, tell the truth. But if it's what you actually believe, then that's where discernment comes in. And you have to look at the evidence and say, the Anunnaki story, you know, these guys who, oh, we carry their DNA in us, that makes us extraterrestrial too. Well, they may be responsible for damaging our DNA. Or you got to look at what's written within the scripture, where everything can line up, and Revelation is right where we're living today. So with that, I'm going to say thank you very much. We did go a little over time here. Riscal, I always appreciate your comments, you know, and I really appreciate you being able to carry on Saturday. And folks, if you haven't listened to that interview, go listen to it. Go listen to it.
Educational.
What's that?
It's educational.
Yeah. We can learn from everybody. Almost everybody. Almost everybody. Everybody who has a desire, and whether, you know, nobody gets everything right all the time. But if you're trying, and you know, you have to question who's controlling the narrative, and I think Kerry has it. You brought this up, but you know, if you listen to Kerry over the years, some of her whistleblowers get whacked, and other ones go on to become famous rock stars. How does that happen? The narrative. It's the narrative. It's what they want the people to hear. It's what Hollywood gives us. So which narrative are we going to listen to? Listen to Kerry. She'll tell you the truth according to Kerry. And I wouldn't argue with her because she's convinced of what she believes. I wouldn't argue with her. And I do respect her opinion. Her opinion is not backed by a biblical record and the scientific evidence to back it up. So with that, I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. We have a great future coming. We have a great future. And yeah, we're going to wind up losing a decent number of the population of this planet. But as Revelation 7:14 says, a great crowd that no man is able to number got into God's kingdom. And it's the kingdom here on earth. It's that thousand-year reign where we get our DNA healed. And so that makes you some of the greatest and smartest people, most intelligent, because you get it. You get the possibilities. You get the possibilities. And you have the spiritual connection. And I think that's fantastic. With that, I'm going to say thank you. Thanks again for being with me, Riscola, and producing the show. And folks, love and blessings to everyone. We'll be back next week, same place, same time. And thank you for joining us. Join and share this content. Join the channel and share this content with everyone that you can possibly share it with. It's got great information. And again, listen to that interview with Riscola and Kerry from last Saturday. Love and blessings to all. Have a fantastic night.